Greetings in the name of the Lord Jesus. We are here again thinking about this subject of the example of Christ to the believer. What an important subject this is for the believer. And I trust as you listen to these broadcasts from day to day that you've been thinking and meditating on some of the passages we've been discussing. The Lord Jesus, of course, is our one perfect example. We have pointed out before, and we acknowledge this before God, that sometimes we fail in always being an example to the unsaved neighbors and friends, and also to other believers, that we ought to be. And we would confess to God that sometimes people are disillusioned and they're turned away, either from believing or from following the Lord, simply because we have not always been the example we should have been. Now, this does not excuse people. I want to be very open and fair about this. Even when we fail, people are not excused when they turn away from the Lord Jesus or when they rebel against Him. God's Word is very clear that no matter what anybody else does, no matter how people act, we still need to come to the Lord Jesus as our Savior from sin. Even if everyone else fails us, we are without excuse if we ourselves rebel either against being saved or against living the Christian life. Nevertheless, it is important that we live the right kind of example. The Apostle Paul could say that he was an example to believers. And this is something that we Christians need to consider even more. What kind of an example are we to our children? What kind of an example is a husband to the wife? What kind of an example is a wife to the husband? Of godliness, of obedience to God, of faithful walk, of gentle spirit, and other things. In every relationship of life, people are looking to us as examples. And so many children turn away because they say, "My father is not the man of God he pretends to be." In other words, in his actions, in the way he treats us at home, in the way he talks, the feelings he expresses, he's not really a good example. Shame on us as parents if any of our children could say this. But again, the Lord Jesus is still the one they point to. I tried to raise my children in a godly manner, but I realized there were times when I had to come back to my own children and say, "I'm sorry for the way I talked to you. I'm sorry for the way I treated you. Would you please forgive me?" Because I hadn't always been the example. And then I would point them to the Lord Jesus, that one perfect example. I want to read again from Philippians chapter 2. Several times in this series, we have read from this passage, and I want to come back to this passage again, beginning with verse 5. In verses 1 to 4, he had told them how they were to treat each other. And now he comes down to verse 5 with these words: "Have this mind among yourselves." Let this mind be in you. "Have this mind among yourselves, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men." Now we've thought about several things that the Lord Jesus considered when he came down to this earth. This idea of submission, the idea of humility, the idea of sacrifice, and now the idea of obedience. And this is what I want to emphasize in these few moments: the idea of obedience. How important obedience is to God. In the Old Testament, on Sunday morning, I spoke from 1 Samuel chapter 15. Perhaps some of you heard that message over the radio. But I spoke from 1 Samuel chapter 15 of the Harvest Church about the subject of obedience, where the Lord said through Samuel the prophet to the king Saul, who had disobeyed God, "Hath the Lord as great a delight in sacrifices and in burnt offerings as in obeying the voice of the Lord?" God regards obedience to be very, very important. There is no substitute for obedience. We don't compromise on obeying God. we don't obey him part of the way, and then consider it not all that important to go all the way in our obedience. God is looking to us for obedience. In John chapter 14 and 15, some of the very last things the Lord Jesus had to say to his disciples in that last meeting before he was crucified had to do with obedience. In other words, he was commanding them to obey. They were to obey him in everything. And so in chapter 15, for instance, verse 10, the Lord Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, you shall live in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and live in his love." Now here's his example. He perfectly obeyed the Father in yielding himself to come down to this world and live and die on the cross for our sins. It was an obedience. It was not only humility, and it was not only submission, but it was obedience. The Father had said to him, "Go down," and he went down. And for our sakes, he died on the cross. Thank the Lord for his obedience. And now he says that if you want to live close to me, if you want to prove your relationship with me, this living in him, abiding in him he speaks of, you are to obey my commandments. And then back in chapter 14, he says in verse 24 of this passage, "He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings." In other words, if you don't love me, you're not going to obey me. And then again, in verse 21, going back several verses, "He that hath my commandments and keepeth them is he that loves me." What is he saying here? Don't talk about loving Jesus if you're living a disobedient life. When God calls us into the Christian life, he's called us into a wonderful life, a life in him, which he has made possible by his sacrifice. And he does ask some things of us. And among these things, he is asking for obedience. That when God speaks, we do what he tells us to do. Someone was giving me this morning the illustration of a child who was about to be bitten by a rattlesnake. The child did not know the snake was behind him, ready to spring at him and to bite him. And the father commanded him, "Obey me, freeze right there, don't move even a muscle." If that child had been willful and disobeyed, as the story went this morning, and this is a true story, as that child stood there, if he had disobeyed in the slightest degree, the snake would have bitten him, he would have died. But the father was able to come behind the snake and kill the snake. And so, there's an example there of obedience. In the Christian life, obedience matters. Sometimes we think the small things don't matter all that much. But to God, they do matter. They're very important to God. And when we willfully disobey God, God is going to be not only disappointed, but our disobedience will affect God. Suppose now, God commands us to do a certain thing, and we stray to the right hand or to the left hand very slightly. It's going to take us off of the path, the straight path God has given us to follow. We're not going to find the thing God wanted us to experience. We're not going to find the blessing and the favor that God had in store for us, because even slightly we have strayed from the path. My exhortation to you today, as we consider this subject, and as we close this little meditation, my exhortation to you is that you would set your hearts upon the Lord. You would determine in your hearts that no matter what God commands in his word, no matter how he speaks to you by his Holy Spirit, enlightening your hearts with his word, and laying the certain truths upon your hearts, no matter how he speaks to you, that you will determine in anything and everything, in the great things and the small things, you will obey him. This will affect the way you live. It will affect what you do. It will affect how you live before others, how your lives touch their lives. And the answer is, you willingly and gladly obey because of the example of the Lord Jesus himself. If he could be so obedient and could give us such a wonderful example of coming down to the earth to die for us in obedience to the Father, then we ourselves, in gratitude to Him and in obedience to Him, will do whatever He says and follow Him wherever He leads and be whatever He wants us to be. May God help you, each one, in your lives, and may this also be one of the ways that you set the Lord Jesus before you as an example, to encourage you and to help you to obey. May God bless you, each one.